I want to take you back to late 2013 when the unrest in Ukraine started to ramp up. We've heard mostly one version of how it all started. First, peaceful protests against the authoritarian pro-Russia president Viktor Yanukovych. Then he responded with violence. In fact, Yanukovych was chased out of power after his security forces shot and killed 50 protesters one morning in February last year. That incident is seen by many as the moment his regime lost its legitimacy. But some have suggested that the shooting by police that day was provoked by demonstrators. An investigation by the BBC supports this allegation. My colleague Gabriel Gatehouse was the lead reporter.
I've spoken to one man who says he was of the Maidan demonstrators. He'd been there for over a month. And on the morning in question, this is the 20th of February, he says he was handed a gun that had been kept overnight in a building controlled by the protesters. He was escorted to a building on the side of Maidan Square, the conservatory building, up onto the second floor balcony from which he had a good view over the police lines. And he says he spent about 20 minutes shooting at police there, after which they began to retreat. Now, he told me that he wasn't out to kill anyone. He was just trying to scare them away, to drive them back. But he says he can't be sure whether indeed he did hit anyone. And the key thing is here that the massacre of protesters, many of whom were killed by special forces, Ukrainian police units, only began after the police retreated, and this man's testimony seems to give some indication as to why they retreated. But I really must emphasize that I don't know who fired the first shots that morning, and a lot of this is still shrouded in mystery.
Still, three policemen were killed, and if this man's story is true, it would seem to kind of shake up the narrative at this point that that shooting, and it was pretty relentless for a while there, was not just one-sided by the riot police.
Yes, I think that's true. And as far as we can, we've tried to corroborate our man's story. He spoke to us on condition that we preserve his anonymity, so we called him Sergei. But his story does stand up. Various other witnesses at the time, quite a lot of them activists on the protesters' side, so who have no interest in as it were, exposing this side of the story, say that they also saw and heard gunfire coming from the conservatory building. I spoke to one MP who was then part of the Maidan movement, who said he got a call from the head of the police unit on the square early that morning saying, look, my policemen are coming under fire from this building. Please call someone on your side. Make this stop. Otherwise, something very, very bad will happen. He says he called the people in charge of security amongst the protesters. They then went to search the conservatory building. And this is where the sort of official narrative diverges from that of our anonymous witness. The official narrative is that they didn't find anyone shooting from the conservatory building. Sergei says that he was dragged off at some point by a bunch of guys whom he recognized as being part of the protest movement as well, who then bussed him out of town and left him to make his own way home. And we've spoken to other people, notably a photographer who at 8 o'clock that morning managed to get into the conservatory building and said it was full of protesters with guns.
You were there too, Gabriel. I mean, how does everything you've learned in doing this report, how does it all square with your own observations that night?
Well, there were two stages, if you like, to the shooting. There was all this stuff that happened early in the morning on the square itself, and that's the sort of substance of what we found out here, that the protesters seem to have been involved in shooting on police at that stage. And then at some point around 9 o'clock in the morning, the riot police retreat, and they retreat up this hill. It's called Institutska Street. It goes along the side of this big hotel, the Hotel Ukraine. And that's when the big massacre of protesters starts. Now, I was a witness to that. I saw it myself. You can see it on videos. We saw the riot police firing towards protesters with live rounds. There's no doubt that those rounds will have caused a lot of the deaths, but not all of them, because some people were shot in much more mysterious circumstances.
Is it possible this sniper, this man who's kind of at the center of your report, is it possible he's a Russian plant? I mean, they would want to discredit the other side, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. I suppose I should say anything is possible. I found his testimony very persuasive. We ran through it several times. It didn't differ significantly every time he told it. My reading of him was that whatever he was saying, he believed to be true. He said he was a protester, that he felt he was firing in self-defense.
What has been the response from the Kiev government? And, you know, given how much it could damage its reputation, are you worried about your own safety? I mean, you're heading back someday, presumably.
Yes, I will. And I like to think that Ukrainian democracy is robust enough to be able to take some reporting that that I think is fair and accurate. I don't think there'd be any problem in my returning. There hasn't been any response up till now from the Ukrainian authorities. I can well imagine that many won't be too pleased. But I do think that one of the tangible achievements, perhaps, of the Orange Revolution in 2004 and 2005 and then the revolution in 2014 has been a great deal of tolerance in Ukraine for freedom of speech. And you can say what you want to say in the media in Ukraine without too much fear of repercussions, unlike perhaps you might say over the border in Russia.
The BBC's Gabriel Gaidas, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Marco.